Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So, what exactly is the International Monetary Fund? Money makes the world go around, but who controls it? Who decides where it goes? And what causes, what needs it needs to go to most? There has to be someone or something that keeps it all in check. Otherwise, money would be all over the place. This is what the International Monetary Fund does, or the IMF. The IMF was set up during the Second World War and created to ensure global financial stability, especially in the aftermath of the Great Depression of the 1930s. It's comprised of 190 countries around the world, and as a result, offers financial aid to those who may need it most. In life, as we've seen over the last few years, anything can happen. Look, for example, at the droughts in Africa in those countries and Yemen, where there's a huge catastrophe going on at the moment. They need extra help, aid. And that's why it's important to ensure financial stability when you need it most. And this is what the IMF does, but on a global scale. So what do they actually do? Well, as I've mentioned, the main role of the IMF is to create financial stability worldwide. But how do they do this? Well, the IMF uses three core methods to ensure global financial security and stability. And these are surveillance, financial aid, and technical assistance. So what do they involve? Why do we need them? And how are they successful in completing and making sure we have monetary stability? Let's look at them in closer detail. Firstly, surveillance. Every country in the world will deal with money differently. Some countries are wealthy, others are poor. Some have massive imports and exports, whereas others are more or less entirely dependent on themselves. Now, because of this, the IMF uses surveillance to keep an eye on, to keep track of, a country's economic state. Add to this the unpredictability of life itself, and it gives all the more reason to understand where a country is at financially. So, to give you an example, if we take a natural disaster, for instance, an earthquake, and imagine the damage and financial ruin it would cause, we can see that for different countries, dealing with it would be vastly different. A country that's often associated with earthquakes is Japan, given its location geographically. But one of the most devastating earthquakes to occur in recent years was in Haiti in 2010. Now, the difference between these two countries is that Japan is one of the richest in the world, whereas Haiti is one of the poorest. So, through surveillance, the IMF can easily assess the monetary requirements needed to deal with that event. And by doing so, the right amount of money can be given to the country in need as quickly as possible, allowing them to recover quicker and not fall into massive economic debt and deficit. All of this can be achieved through yearly assessments, through continued surveillance. And then there's financial assistance. If an earthquake or any other natural disaster, or in fact any financial need was required by a country, then the IMF would, should, be able to help through financial assistance. When countries require money and assistance, they'll often borrow from other countries with the intentions of paying it back in the future. As we know, though, not everything can be paid back, whether it's in full or on time. The IMF essentially loans the countries the money needed to fulfill these payments. and regain its financial stability. Because the IMF is made of different countries and not a country by itself, the loan is often based on a number of quotas set by these countries. A quota is a trade restriction which limits how much money a government or country can make through their imports and exports. Now, as I mentioned, the IMF isn't a country in itself, and the loans and financial assistance offered are agreed upon by other countries. However, what this does is give a foothold for financial stability to recover, and just like with surveillance, not allow a country to fall into massive amounts of debt. Technical assistance. The rules that apply to us with our money also apply to countries. Countries have to be smart with their money. They have to put it to good use and ensure that it isn't wasted. The technical assistance that the IMF provides acts as this international financial advisor. With better management over their money, countries can be better suited to dealing with heavy financial issues such as natural disasters. The IMF offers this in four different ways. Financial policies. These act as rules and principles to follow, which can help to maintain growth and wealth. Fiscal policies, financial policies, relate to taxation and government spending, as often used to promote growth and reduce poverty. Statistics. By offering detailed statistics, countries can be more aware of their losses as well as their profits, allowing them to mend or fix them for the future. And financial legislation. This agrees on companies and institutions following financial laws to ensure they're not cutting corners and affecting the country's overall economy. So, this is what the IMF offers. And through these three main elements, the global financial market is able to survive and be stabilised as best as possible and as quickly as possible. On a personal level, we all want to ensure financial security for both ourselves and people we care about. And the IMF, in essence, acts in the same way, only on a global scale. So, who is part of the IMF? Well, like I've said, there's 190 member countries, but there's 197 countries in the world. The seven countries outside of the IMF include Cuba, East Timor, North Korea, Liechtenstein, Monaco, Taiwan, and Vatican City. Now, a few of these aren't actually technically countries, but rather city-states. However, they're so financially powerful for a single city that they have the ability to join, so why don't they? Well, one of the biggest critiques of the IMF is the way in which loans are completed. Now, as I've said, because the loans are decided by other countries, there's no governing body, so to speak, which isn't biased or unfair in its decision-making. Because of this reason, and reasons known to the countries and city-states, they might not want to get involved for fear of being taken advantage of by larger economies. A question that's arisen from this is, why do countries join? Well, just like anything in life, the IMF has its downsides, but it's also got many positives that encourage new members to join. Now, if a country is to join, there are some obligations that they have to follow, including agreeing to a code of conduct, paying a quota subscription, refraining from restrictions and exchange of foreign currency, and strive for openness with their financial policies in other countries. Now, the IMF has its own board of directors, executives and staff, but for the members themselves, what are the benefits? Well, okay, here's just a few. information on financial status and economic policies of all member countries, influence and input on policies and finance, onboard help from member countries, both theoretically and practically, better opportunities for imports and exports, and of course, finally, financial improvement and support. So, in a nutshell, as an introduction, that is the International Monetary Fund. Its job is designed to keep global finance stable and prepare and help those countries who need it the most. Without the IMF, who knows what state the world might be in financially? And thankfully, we don't have to deal with that, because instead, we can place trust and security in this institution and through them have better global finance. Now, I know that was a bit confusing. You might want to go through it again when you've got a bit more time and listen to it a second time. Well, I hope you have a lovely day and I'll speak to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.